Options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. Individuals should not enter into options transactions until they have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options, available by calling 1-888-OPTIONS or by visiting optionseducation.org. None of the information in this presentation should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. This is part four of the Options Industry Council's six-part series, Developing a Trading Strategy.
The Greeks, as I said, they're risk gauges. So they help detect when there's a lot of risk in a certain position. The Greeks assume that the five inputs, other than the underlying price, do not necessarily change. And of course, that assumption is probably not right because the interest rates are changing, volatility is changing. So I always get this question, Steve, how about if I do delta neutral trading? Does that guarantee me a profit? Of course, you're going to know after hearing me for the last 40 minutes, I'm not going to guarantee anything. But I don't know about delta neutral trading because the volatility is changing, which means that model that gives me my prices isn't 100% accurate because the volatility today, as I speak, is different than it was yesterday or the day before. So you have different risk gauges because the inputs change. So that, of course, is going to create pricing discrepancies. However, again, I'm not a big advocate of saying my model is better than your model, unless you feel that confident in it. I really like to make strategies based on a forecast, not on the fact that my option pricing model may be superior to somebody else's. So Greeks can help form expectations. Delta, how much is the option going to change? If the underlying changes, theta, it's going to tell me how much I'm going to lose if the asset doesn't move at all, or how much am I going to gain if I sold that option, like in the case of a covered call. Gamma is going to gives me the acceleration of an option. So you're all probably thinking, well, I want tons of acceleration. Well, if that's the case, well, then you're going to have to pay for it with more theta. And I use the metaphor of the automobile. We all want to have a lot of acceleration, but we don't want to pay for it with the gas mileage being poor. And it's the same thing here. You want more gamma, you pay more money. You want less gamma, you pay less money. Vega is going to tell me how much I'm going to lose if the volatility drops. Remember, I said the volatility changes each and every day. But normally around earnings, if you're trading high growth companies, for instance, Google, eBay, Amazon, those kind of companies, when the earnings come out and it's all of a sudden, if the earnings are announced pretty much in line, the volatility could drop a tremendous amount, and the asset might not move at all. So that's a very important point. How much will I lose if the volatility changes? And rho is the least important. It's going to tell me how much my option gains or loses based on interest rates. This is more important. If you're trading a very high-priced asset, it makes sense to really monitor this. Or foreign currency options, you need to watch that too. Calls have positive delta, puts have negative delta. So, of course, we want the market to move up. If we buy a call, we want the market to move down if we buy a put. Deep in the money options, you're going to have deltas that are about 100. So that means 100 means it will move just like the stock. Far out of the money options, you're going to have deltas near zero. At the money options, they're going to be roughly 50. All that really means is the option pricing model says there's a 50% chance of this asset moving up or moving down. So at expiration, options are going to be worth intrinsic value or zero. So we pay this premium because we have limited risk. But at expiration, we know this option is going to be worth intrinsic value or zero. The loss of the extrinsic value is also called time decay. Short options have positive decay. Long options have negative decay. It's greatest at the money due to the highest amount of extrinsic value, because what's where the greatest premium is, the extrinsic premium. In the money, ITM, in the money, vertical spreads benefit from positive decay. Out of the money, vertical spreads suffer from that decay. So again, if I'm looking for leverage, I buy an out of the money. If I don't want leverage, trade it in the money. So that's going to be about magnitude. Options do not decay on a linear basis. Shorter term options have greater theta relative to longer term options. Why? They're cheaper. So there's something good about these shorter-term options. They, in nominal terms, they're less expensive, but they also decay faster. So higher theta results in more gamma. So if I'm actually paying more, well, of course, my option can appreciate more. It can also depreciate more, too. As I said, gamma manufactures delta, long options. Delta increases as it moves toward the strike price and above for calls. Of course, and the opposite for puts. Gamma is highest at the strike price just prior to expiration. Options far in the money and out of the money have low gamma. So vega, that's going to, again, measure how much I'll lose if the volatility changes. At the money options, with the most time left until expiration, the most sensitive to nominal changes in vega. Out of the money options are the most sensitive on percentage terms. Some market professionals believe that predicting future volatility, believe it or not, is just as difficult as predicting the future asset price. And I'm probably one of those market professionals, that it's quite challenging to predict volatility. In fact, I look at volatility, and I look at the range of the volatility, and that's how I sort of look at what strategies are available to me. If volatility is on the low end of the range, maybe I do something. If volatility is on the high end of the range, I do something else. Shorter-term options have less vega relative to longer-term options, but again, they have more theta. Rho is just going to tell us what's going to happen to my option if the interest rates change. So this is probably not going to be all that important for most of us unless we're trading high-priced assets, Google and those kind of names. Long calls and short puts have positive rho. An increase in interest rates increases the cost of carry. Remember, if an asset doesn't move for a year, did I break even if I held that asset for a year? No. If it doesn't pay a dividend, I actually had the cost of carry for that position. So all that cost of carry goes into the pricing of options. Short calls and long puts have negative rho. A decrease in interest rates decreases the cost of carry. So this rho, this term rho, is more meaningful for higher priced securities relative to lower priced securities. Makes sense, right? Because we have this asset that's much higher priced, so the cost of money is going to impact it even more. $700 stock, $7 stock. I'm more concerned with the $700 stock, not on where it's going to go, but the cost of money is going to impact that trade a lot more. So why do we care about the Greeks? Well, the important point to understand are the risks and rewards are involved with each strategy. Then you want to select the strategy that makes most sense for you. Understanding the risk and reward of the various option strategies and how the parameters change and how that will affect the profitability. So again, it's all about what makes sense, what are the likely outcomes, and realizing that I'm never 100% certain on anything. At least that's the way I view things. Considering what can go wrong, not just what can go right. The Greeks, the risk gauges, can help approximate the risks involved with some unexpected events. And even the Greeks don't do a great job occasionally. As I said, when we started this year, we had expected volatility of 9%. So the options were based on a 9 vol. Now we're trading at a 27 vol. So obviously the prices, something was wrong, that 9 vol was wrong. Now if you buy an option today at 27 vol, 3 months from now we're trading at a 15 vol, maybe we could say, well, that 27 vol was wrong. All we know is where when I call it a market poll, each and every day we get a market poll of what prices should be based on the future. And each and every day that poll changes. And I urge all of you to learn more about implied volatility. You can go to a website called iVolatility.com, or a lot of your brokers have implied volatilities. Please go and seek that information out. It's very important. The Greeks are assuming we're going to be sitting somewhere in the average area. It's not going to be up so much or down so much. That's when the Greek model, this option pricing model, breaks down. So when we have tremendous movement, the options are just not being priced right because we don't know how long that will continue. So the strength or weakness of any option pricing model is the assumptions used. So be careful with the assumptions. And we've seen a lot of that with subprime recently this year. We had assumptions on a model that very, very smart people created. Turns out their assumptions were wrong. Be careful when you assume. Quarterly dividends do not change. Of course they do. Freddie Mac just lowered their dividends yesterday. So just because we have embedded expected dividends, that doesn't mean that they won't be increased or decreased. All options are European style. That's not true either. Again, that's the model was built that way, but we can exercise our options early, and many of you probably do, whether it's exercising a call to get a dividend or because the stock has gone so far down that you don't want to hold the asset anymore. Maybe you bought a put against a stock and you just want to wash the whole position out. You can exercise them early if they're American style, but the original model was based on European style. Markets can easily be arbitrage. Arbitrage is just buying it in one place, selling it at another place, the same exact instrument, and making a profit. So this is based on what's a theory called put-call parity that says that options prices are efficient. They are efficient most of the time. Occasionally, we have scenarios that the markets cannot be arbitraged because we have some sort of corporate action, maybe a takeover, something else. And so you want to be careful, and you want to call your broker, go to 888 Options, and if something looks too good to be true, it probably is. So a lot of times investors will say, well, if I create this synthetic position, sell the real position, I can earn a dollar or two. So then I'll always tell them it's almost impossible because there are a lot of market participants that are looking at the same thing as you. More than likely, there's some sort of corporate action, some other kind of deliverable that you're not used to, probably because it was a takeover. My theory is keep it simple. If it looks so easy, it probably isn't, and you should ask the appropriate questions. So commissions are the same for all participants? No, although commissions are a lot less than they were. The term structure of interest rates is flat. We know it's not. Short-term rates, as I speak, are higher than some longer-term rates. It's crazy. And so that happens occasionally, and the inference there is that the U.S. economy is going to slow down. So we'll see what happens, but that's the inference. All events can be predicted within some range of certainty, and I would say that's definitely untrue. I was trading in 1987, 1997, 2001, when all kinds of crazy events were occurring, and there's no way I could have predicted that the market was going to be dropping 20% in any one day. So I'm a big advocate of be careful, and I like to trade using spreads, limited risk, because when the markets get really crazy, I don't want to have all of my assets subjected to some whim of something that's so unlikely, but it ends up coming true, and I could end up losing a significant portion of my portfolio. So at least that's for me. But again, each individual investor has to select their own goals and their own risk tolerances.
We hope developing a trading strategy part 4 has helped you better understand options. If this podcast has left you with any unanswered questions, please call us at 1-888-OPTIONS. The next podcast in this 6-part series is Developing a Trading Strategy Part 5, available for free download at www.optionseducation.org.